First of all, a Merry Christmas, and sorry about the delay. I left New York at 11 this morning, 9 o'clock, AMAS time. There are many lessons that today's Christmas gospel can teach us, but I think especially three. The lesson of the census that was ordered by Caesar Augustus. The lesson of the poverty in which Jesus was born. And the lesson of the angels and their message, not only to the shepherds then, but to all true shepherds ever since. We are told by St. Luke that Joseph and Mary came to register in the town of Bethlehem, David's town, because that was the decree issued by the emperor who wanted to count all his citizens for the very noble purpose of taxing them. Whatever else the decree of Caesar Augustus should teach us, it is that God in his providence uses very human instruments, in this case, the pride of a Roman emperor, to bring the maker of that emperor to a town where the decree declared everyone must come, his family town. Whatever else that census of Caesar should teach us, it is to completely trust in the providence of God, to see everything, even proud ambition, as part of the providence according to which we are to do God's will. Whatever else Bethlehem should teach us, it is that God's will is manifested to us in all the events of our lives, including what those who are not friends of God may bring into our lives. The second lesson is the poverty. Over the centuries, all translators have softened the destitution in which Christ was born. We are told that his mother, when she gave him birth, placed him in a manger. Not really. The original language of the inspired gospel tells us she placed him in a trough. And again, the rhetoric of our language says she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. No, she didn't. The original words of the evangelist tell us she wrapped him in rags. What's the lesson of Christ being laid in a trough and wrapped in rags on his birthday? To teach us the hardest lesson we have to learn, namely humility. And humility is meaningless unless it is humiliating. When God became a human being, he humiliated himself. In fact, that's what the incarnation is. God humiliating himself by becoming nothing less. He couldn't have become less. He became a human being. And his being born in physical poverty as a man was only external symbolization of the profound humiliation that God submitted to by becoming incarnate. A perfect theological definition for the incarnation is the humiliation of God in becoming a human being. What then is the lesson that Christ's birth in Bethlehem teaches us? That like our God, he who descended, what a descent that was. We do not comprehend, but we better believe that the infinite God became a weak, speechless, helpless human child to teach us that God became a human being in order to teach us how we are to become like God. How is that? By humbling ourselves. And there is no other path to heaven except the path of humility. If the first lesson is the lesson of God's providence, if the second lesson is of humiliating poverty, the third is the lesson that the angels first proclaimed to the shepherds, and that over the centuries, all the followers of Christ are expected to learn. We are told, glory to God in the highest. And let's make sure we have the right translation. And peace on earth to men of goodwill. What is our duty? The angels tell us. We have a twofold duty, and that's why God became a human being in the person of Jesus, born at Bethlehem. Our first duty is to give glory to God, and our second is to do God's will. We are to glorify God. How are we to glorify Him? We are to glorify God by doing what God wants us to do. And in the process, we shall experience what no one else has a right to expect: peace. The price of peace is doing God's will. Those are the people identified by the angels as being of good will. When is our will good? It is good when it is conformed to the will of God. How in today's war-torn world we need to learn the lesson that the angels taught on Christmas morning. And along what I almost thought was going to be an endless flight to Albuquerque. Of all people to be sitting next to on the plane, with a very narrow aisle between us, was a lady from Iran and her husband. Both Persian. My Persian is very poor. Her English was better. How the people suffering, as she said, 20 of our major cities are totally destroyed. We are in constant dread and fear. How we Muslims pray for peace. So then we talked about Christmas and about Isa, which is the Arabic for Jesus. You know, I told her, we Christians believe that Isa, Ibn Maryam, the son of Mary, is Ibn Allah, the son of God. She liked that. Listening to you, she said, I could be a Christian. The world is crying for peace. But there is no peace between people, between nations, unless there is peace within people. And the only way to have peace within our hearts is to be totally, and the adverb is totally, submissive to the will of the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah in today's gospel predicted the Messiah would be called. Dear Jesus, you came into the world to bring peace. But as you warned us, the peace that you came to bring is not the kind the world gives. Help us, dear Savior, not to be at peace with the world by being conformed to the philosophy of the world, which rejects the cross. But give us the wisdom and the strength to give our hearts to you entirely, because it is in uniting our hearts with yours that we are at peace. And if we are at peace, then when we pray for a war-torn world, we are sure, dear Jesus, you will hear our prayers. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.